Welcome to RSN's Race Day.
Ready? Gates crash back in racing.
For the first hour, it's the first word. Here's Gareth Hall.
Yes, this is RSN's Race Day on this Saturday, the 23rd of October. Good morning to you listening on your local RSN 927 dial throughout Victoria. And hello to you wherever you may be listening on the RSN 927 app, our sister channels right across the country, and also on our brand new website at rsn.net.au. Well, 25 years ago, the racing bug grabbed me like nothing really before, thanks to this magnificent chestnut and his legendary trainer. The Cox Plate does that. It gets you win in its own special way. Legends delivering legendary performances. Farlap did it in 30 and 31. He gave a nation hope as it battled through a depression. Kingston Town taught us never to give up again and again and again.
Kingston Town flashing, he might win yet the champ. Rover took the lead off, Kingston Town swapping them. What a run, Kingston Town wins it an extra Rover.
And Bill gave us goosebumps.
Our Waverley Star, the rails, Bone Crusher the outside, and Bone Crusher races into Equine Immortality.
Greg and Sunline blew us away. So did Bossy and Maccabi Diva.
But it's Maccabi Diva in front of Lateria. Fields of Omar coming back in the middle, but Maccabi Diva, she's the champ.
Fred and Northerly taught us how to fight.
Northerly's going to do it back to back. Northerly takes the Cox Plate a length on the line to fight.
So You Think made us stare in amazement.
So You Think has bolted in the Cox Plate.
And Winks made us believe in the impossible.
Winks is staving off Ben Battle. Cometh the hour, cometh the legend. Greatness, Winks has done it. It's Equine Utopia.
And today we celebrate the 101st running of the WS Cox Plate, and we will be inspired again. Whether it's Chris Waller's perfection, Very Elegant's courage, Laney's balance, Ollie's hands, Huey's timing, Willow's tactics, Adamo's brilliance, Dean and Daniel's perseverance, the Snowden's polish, Cap Devon's class, Luke and Callside Max fight, Joseph's wizardry, state of rest, acceleration, Johnny Allen's belief, Jamie and James' special gift, Preble's resilience, Papa Bill's beauty, J-Mac's magic, or a young trainer named Annabelle Neeshan, who has proved if you dream big enough and believe, anything is possible. September 25, 2020 at Scone, Neeshan trained her first winner with her first run. 14 months later, she has an opportunity to win a WS Cox Plate, the race for legends, with her dual Group 1 winners, the mighty Saki and her warrior Mwanga. This is sport at its very best, I promise you, at Racing's Coliseum, Moonee Valley. And you won't miss a thing as we start the build-up to the great race on your home of racing. Hello, I'm Gareth Hall, and welcome to RSN 927's coverage of WS Cox Plate Day. Yes, it's great to be with you on this Saturday morning. The first word not far away. We'll get a track update with Marnie Synan at Moonee Valley. We've got a host of trainers to talk to in the first hour. The Melbourne Form panel after that with Dean Lester, Warren Huntley, David Gately and Nicholas Quinn. And then from 9 o'clock, a big interstate hour. But let's head out to Moonee Valley because outside in Melbourne, as I look out of the window here in Carlton, it continues to rain. I wonder how much rain they've had at Moonee Valley overnight. Good morning to you, Marty.
Morning, Gareth. How are you?
Good, thanks, mate. What has happened overnight? How much rain have you had?
Well, we've had 10.5 mil of rain up till now, and with that, there's just some light showers around as we speak, but very, very light. And looking at the radar, there doesn't seem to be much behind it. So I reckon in the next half hour, it'll clear. It's going to probably be overcast all day, but all that I probably need now is for a bit of wind to pick up, and that'll help the track improve. But as we speak, the track's currently a soft 5. And I'm pretty happy where it's at considering the amount of rain we've had.
Okay, so it's worked out pretty well for you then, Marty.
It has. I did get the boys to put the hoses out last night just in case I had to put the water on if the rain didn't come. So that was probably a bit of an omen that once you put the sprinklers out that the rain comes. But, I would probably only put about 5 mil of irrigation on it anyway to keep it in that good fall rain. So with the extra 5 mil and like the 10 mil of rain, it's just put it in that soft rain. So I think if we get no more rain at all throughout the day, the track will continue to improve and maybe get back to a 4 at some stage.
And how did the track pull up after last night?
Very good. We were on a good three last night, and as you saw, they ran some pretty quick times, so there's very little damage. We'll just stripe the track up this morning, put a bit of a pattern in it to make it look good for our feature day, and, yeah, ready to go. Pretty happy with it.
Okay. If the rain goes away and we get a day with no rain for the rest of the afternoon and the latter part of the morning, will we stay at that soft range?
Highly unlikely. I think if the wind picks up, we can get back to a four. But like four or five, it doesn't really worry me. That's a pretty good rating to have on such a big day. So if they do start to chop it out a bit because of the small bit of the rain we've had, well, then that'll be it. And I'll maybe get it off the rail a bit. But if it does improve and they can stay on the rail, it should be a good day's racing.
Okay. What about the wind conditions?
At the moment, we've got from the west. So they're quite light. But they are, say they are going to pick up to about 30 k's from the southeast. So if we get those sort of winds, that'll be in their head down the straight and may impact it a little bit. But I think, if horses get going early, they'll have that chance to run on today and should be some pretty good even racing, hopefully.
Good on you, Marty. Let's hope this rain goes away.
Yeah, thanks, Gareth.
There we go, Marty Simon with an all-important track update there for Cox Plate Day. Nevesh Ramdani joins us now for a Randwick update because they've got another really good day of racing highlighted by the new race, the Invitation for the Fillies and Mares worth $2 million. Hello to you, Nevesh.
Good morning to you, Gareth.
What are we expecting there today?
All right, a beautiful day in Sydney today. They're forecasting a mostly clear day, maximum of 26. Just a light breeze coming in from the east to northeast shouldn't really have an impact on racing today. Unlike last week where we had those pretty strong winds coming in from the west. So it's a total contrast this week. A beautiful day forecast and we're racing on a good four with a penetrometer of 5.08.
Okay, where's the rail?
Rails out 8 metres from the 1,000 to the winning post and 5 the remainder.
Yeah. How's the track pulled up after another really busy schedule during your carnival there at Randwick?
Yeah, look, it certainly has been a busy time for Randwick and we've raced, you know, over the last 3 months. But look, we've had some fantastic growth over the past couple of weeks. We raced in the True last week and we pushed the rail out to 5 metres. So we're pretty much in an area of the track which we haven't used for a long time and there's really good cover of grass. It presents really well and it's going to race really well.
What was it like to have crowds back there last week?
Oh, look, it was fantastic. And I don't know, there must have just been something about the fact that we haven't had people here for a long time. And
yeah.
Gee, the 10,000 sounded like a lot more than 10,000. They were certainly having a great time and it was wonderful to have people back and, you know, the signs of hopefully things returning to normal.
Good on you, Nevesh. Thanks for that.
Thanks, Gareth. Have a good day.
Same to you, mate. There's Nevesh Ramdani with that track update in Sydney. Natalie Young joins us now. She's got some nice chances along with Trent Bussett in there at Moonee Valley on Cox Plate Day. Good morning to you, Nat.
Morning.
It's always exciting to see your two-year-olds go around, especially on a day like this. Equivocal was impressive at Cranbourne in a jump out. What are you expecting from this filly?
Yeah, look, she's pretty professional. We actually took her to the Valley on that Tuesday and gave her a bit of a look around it and probably knew it. Was very impressed with her. You know, she scooted around there, no problem at all, on the right leg. And just sometimes nice to get these young two-year-olds a bit of a trip away rather than just trialling all the time at Cranbourne. It just brings them on that little bit. And she's come through that run really awesome. Obviously, you know, Mick Kent's the moat. It's going to be, you know, hard to beat, but she looks like the likely leader in the race, and that's how she sort of likes to go on her jump out. So I think she's probably the best out of those three there today.
Okay, Tatnap Huey rides. He's the colt by Halbet. Red Rapid as well. She's a filly by Merchant Navy. The expectations with those two?
Red Rapid's actually trialled up. Very impressive. The Merchant Navy filly, and yeah, I was really surprised how lost she was at the Valley the other day. She sort of Thomas rode her, and she was just on the wrong leg and she was looking around, so it was a little bit hard to get a bit of a line on her. But I think, you know, today when she's actually in the gates and you know, jumping in amongst the field, I think she'll show that professionalism that she's shown in her jump outs. She's pretty sharp. She hasn't done anything wrong this preparation, and it wouldn't surprise me if she'd go, you know, sort of top three either. And Tatenham, well, he's a lovely big hellbent colt. He's probably a horse that's probably going to be looking for a little bit further down the track, but we thought, look, he's doing everything right. He got round the Valley good on Tuesday as well and bought for $400,000. If he could pick up a bit of place money, well, then we'll be laughing. But, yeah, the best out of those three, I'd say, is Equivocal.
in the third race, Nat, in the Crockett Stakes for the three-year-old filly's Dance Little Sister was impressive at Bairnsdale on debut. What do you think she can do today?
Yeah, I think she's probably one of our best chances, and she's actually paying all right. I think she's about $15. You know, like obviously, Robadira is the favourite of John O'Shea's, but she scooted around there. Actually, Froggy Newitt galloped her on Tuesday around there, and he was kind of a bit annoyed that Bowman was sitting on her today. So, yeah, she's just a nice Sacred Falls filly. I think they've had about 15 mils of rain there, and I think being by that sire, I think I won't worry her. She has trialled here at Cranbourne on a heavy eight and got through it no problem at all. So she's just been a filly that's been just completely professional from the get-go. So, I think she's a nice little... She's just a good value bet today.
Yeah, I can get you $17 in that. There you go, with Dance Little Sister. Do you expect her to be in front?
Yeah, I said, well, she's got a little bit of that awkward gait from Barrier 7, but she does have really good gait speed. So, I'll obviously leave it up to Bowman. He knows what he's doing. I'd say he may sit in behind, but it doesn't look like to be a lot of speed. Maybe that Luxburg run might go on speed, but if she jumps good and he can get across, I think he'll just sort of let her roll along.
Good push there for Dance Little Sister, race number three there, horse number nine at the Valley. He's exceptional. Was so good first up in the Mackenzie and has been pretty good since then. How's he trained on?
Actually really good. I don't know really what went wrong at the Valley the other day. I actually thought he might have been heading to the Tabray for a beer. He was just all over the show. His head come up at the wrong time, and it was the first time he sort of raced that little bit green. But look, his gallop and his works on the track's been outstanding. He's obviously, the Dosh is going to be the leader, and it's probably weighted a lot better. But he hasn't done anything wrong, and he's pretty ultra consistent in his runs, his prep, And he was pretty super when he won against Jigsaw in the Mackenzie. So I think he held his condition really well, and he's obviously, he should be there about.
Can you put a finger on why he was so wayward there the other day? Did he, was it just one of those days that he was in one of those moods?
Oh, I think he was just having one of those days. Yeah. I don't know, because, prior to that, he'd relaxed really nicely and got home awesome. So I just think it was just one of those things. He just might have got exposed a little bit on the corner and didn't really have any cover, and it just might have just caused him to run out that little bit and get the head up.
Impecunious, I thought, was really good at the Valley 2 starts back. Of course, she goes around in the Crystal Mile today. But what did you make of her performance in the Pinker Pinker?
It sort of looked a little bit touch disappointing on face value, but, we had Taichi Goddess in it, and she ended up finishing second, and she's just kind of, I think, just strung the field out a little bit too much. If we had, especially being at Cranbourne, sort of a little bit hard to make up ground if the rail's not out too wide. So I think it was more that factor. I think she hit the line okay, and just a couple of jockeys sort of come in and said she doesn't get the trip. I know she's run third in a Group 1 over 2,000 in Sydney, but, she has really only won over 1,000 in 1,200 metres. So we've just pulled her back to the mile. I must say Tuesday is probably the best work I've seen her do all preparation. Trent was on one side and I was on this side of the tower. We both rang each other at the same time and went, well, that's the best work we've seen. So if she's going to do anything, today will be the day. Obviously, we've got to be Elephant and David's other horse, Rhino, who gets in brilliant with 51 kilos. They both look exceptional. So they're obviously the two to beat, I think, in that field. And there'll be plenty of speed on with Rhino leading and Buffalo Ripper, I'd say. So she just might be able to perch in behind them nicely and get home over top of them.
Nat Howe is Forget You. A lot of the punters out there have locked him in as their lock for their multis today. He's nice and short, but he looks tough to beat in the Vase there, race number seven.
Yeah, it's sort of been a little of a different week. We actually, we had to go to Werribee on Monday to have that test done in case it all goes according to plan, and we do run in the cup. We've got to get through today, obviously. But he did a nice piece of work on Tuesday, and we just had a nice quiet week after the Guineas. He obviously got a little bit further back than we'd like from that gate, but his last 200 in the Guineas was super. It was the fastest of the lot. And we were obviously weighing up to go to the Cox Plate, and if he had a run first or second in the Guineas, I reckon we would have definitely gone. But the target's always been the Derby with him. That's always been the target from the get-go. And so today, he loves the Valley. He's two from two from it. And just a little bit worried that there's not going to be too much speed in the race. That's the only thing. Obviously, Sharple will probably lead. Our other horse, Commander Harry, well, he'll probably sit third or fourth, but he's probably better when he's ridden that little bit of behind the speed too. But I can't fault him. I actually had a sit on him yesterday the first time in a while, and honestly, he's got an action like a hot knife through butter. He's just, he's such a lovely mover. I was just super impressed. I think physically he looks great, and he's come through that Guineas run awesome. So I'm hoping he can keep the punters happy, that's for sure.
Yeah, he was really good in the Guineas. In the Stud Stakes, it was an extraordinary run after. He looked like he was going to get beaten a long way there at the 400-metre mark. Nat, do you think that he'll have that flat spot once again?
I think that's just what he's shown in his last couple of runs. But, you know, he's just got a really explosive last sort of 400 metres once he balances up. And, look, I think it's just the way he is. I'm not sure why. His race is like he's crying out for that 2,000 metres. So as long as he gets a bit of a genuine tempo and settles nicely in the run, which I think he should, he's definitely learnt his craft a bit more in those last few races from those first couple of starts. I think it's just the way he likes to do it. And I think, you know, if he probably doesn't hit that little bit of a flat spot, he might not have that turn of foot. I think it's just him just taking a bit of a breath and just, you know, getting that momentum up to have that 400-metre explosive finish that he does have to get the job done.
It just gives us a heart attack there for
20-odd
seconds, Nat, then he gets going again. All right, then, $10. I gave you $10 today. What are you backing, Nat?
Well, I really like Dance Little Sister.
Yep.
And I think he's exceptional as a good value bet too. And, you know, obviously I'm hoping Forgot You can get the job done being the favourite. A few favourites got up last night at the Valley, so I'm hoping that'll be the case today too. But, we've got a few nice chances and, you know, just with a bit of sting out of the track, I think it brings him in a bit more into contention.
Could be a big day for the stable. Thanks for your time as always, Nat.
No worries. Thank you.
There's Natalie Young there. It's 20 minutes past seven. So the horses that she likes, race 3, number 9, Dance Little Sister. He's exceptional in the Red Anchor Stakes, race 4, number 1. And, of course, the red-hot favourite in the Vase there, race 7, number 1. We'll take a quick break and we'll come back and hopefully catch up with Kieran Maher, Michael Kent Jr. and Troy Corstens. You're listening to The First Word on Cox Plate Day here on RSN 92. Michael Kent Jr. now joins us here on The First Word. You're with Gareth Hall here on Cox Plate Day. Good morning to you, Michael. Thanks for your time.
Hi, Gareth. How are you going?
Good, thanks, mate. This is a great story. Bemote, she only cost $35,000 and she is the favourite on debut in the English banner over the 1,000 metres. How is she this morning?
She's great, yeah. She's a cheap yearling, but she's a beautiful type. Lots of scope to her and, she jumped out very well. Her gallop was very good with Sudoku on Tuesday morning. Craig Newitt said, glad we took her because she had a good look around. So I think she'll want something to follow, but looks to be a good tempo on, and as long as she can begin cleanly and get into a good spot, because it can be a messy race, that race.
The story behind her only going for $35,000 at the yearling sales?
You don't know sometimes. Yeah. There's lots of reasons at sales why horses fall through the cracks. Look, anyway, she's unraced still, so we'll talk about that if she wins.
All right, mate. Then what about Sudoku, who goes around, of course, in the Red Anchor Stakes? What are you expecting there?
We sort of feel that he's looking for 1,400. There'll naturally be good pace on with Dosh in the race, and he gets a lovely run from a good draw. Horse is going very well, and he's very progressive, and this will lead nicely into the springtime stakes in 2 weeks on stakes day. Progressive horse. Mick and I just thought it might catch him a bit sharp, but if he gets the right run, he can be a top three player for sure.
And I guess the rain overnight is a big tick for him as well?
I think so. I don't think it'll hurt him. I don't think it'll hurt him at all.
All right, then we'll move on now to the Phillies Classic over the 1,600 metres. And your stable will settle up two chances there. We'll start off with the Amazonian, who was a good winner there last start there, Michael.
Yeah, she was. Big jump up in grade. She came in of a soft maiden. She led and won. Not sure she leads here, but she'll be in the first three or four. And, she's trained on the right way.
Bring Me Flowers has also got to take that next step up.
She does. I feel she's got a little bit more class. She's at home. She's worked alongside horses like Odium and Lombardo. We were just waiting for her to win a maiden. A lot of bad luck. She got a good run last time. The second horse came out and won by three its next start. And I think she's progressive enough that she could run a place here at big odds.
Where does she get to in the run?
I think we'll just ride her where she lands. Don't want to bustle her. So I think that the track will end up playing a bit more to those getting out, you know, those lanes 3, 4, 5 off the fence by that time of the day, I think. And if that's the case, then she can run on nicely, hopefully.
In the Vase, mate, Jungle Magnate, can he defeat a horse like Forget You?
Hard to see it. Awful draw. I'm going to bring him back and let him run on. He ran well last start. He pulled. So hopefully he can switch off here, being third up. And this race is always a good form reference into the Derby. So, you know, Johnny Angry, I think, was beaten 7 lengths last year. Tarzino used this race to get into the run, the Derby. And if we can be running on within the sort of first 4 or 5 and he stays next week, then I think that bodes well for him.
We know that you've got some really nice progressive three-year-old stays, both in the Colts and Geldings division and the fillies in your stable. Where does this fella measure up in your eyes?
Yeah, I don't think he's as ready as Gunstock, but happy to be wrong. And, yeah, it's sort of, you know, 14, 18, 2000 quite quickly, but very clean-winded, natural staying type. We've always liked the horse. He beat Mac and Cheese on debut. He's got a bit of ability. Just think it's going to be tough today from that draw. He's going to get a long way back, and Forget You looks very hard to beat.
How's Ana Visto?
She's brilliant. She's had 3 weeks between runs, which is good because it was a very tough run for her last time. They flew along, like 11-2, 11-2, 11-3, and she didn't come back a couple of lengths, which would have been ideal. She was outside lead and doing it tough. To our eye, she looks very good here. She's bloomy, and she got another bad barrier, but that's okay. She'll roll forward, and the trick to her winning is just that she rates herself a bit better. If she can get the first half of the race right, then we're optimistic she'll get the mile.
Do you think, can we pick up if she'll be settling better today in the mounting yard? Is there anything that we need to look for there, Michael?
Oh, not really. I mean, it just was, she had a bad barrier last time and you know, drove her across to get in the first 3 or 4 and then, yeah, you know, John just didn't, you know, couldn't bring her back. You know, I think if there's less pressure up front, it might suit her today.
And Nasha goes around in the first race at Yarra Valley. Does that go?
We scratched her.
All right, mate. Your best for the day?
I think Ana Visto is our best winning chance. And I'll make, I think Brimley Flowers is a very nice place bet.
Good on you, Michael. Thanks for that. Good luck.
Thanks.
There's Michael Kent Jr. Troy Corson joins us now here on the first week. Good morning to you, Troy.
Morning, Gareth.
Idris makes his debut there in the Inglis banner over the 1,000 metres at Moonee Valley. What can you tell us about this debutant by Lonro?
He's very professional. He's a half-brother to Amber Sky. And obviously a speedy customer, but his two trials have been excellent at Flemington. His second trial was particularly good. Ollie's ridden him in both, knows him quite well, and we've planned to target this race today. He's probably ready to go a couple of weeks ago, but we've the prize money is just too big here. He's ready to go. He's an adaptable horse. He'll race on pace. If he handles a bit of the sting out of the ground, I think he'll run huge.
All right. Good push there for Idris on debut. What about Ranting? He's such an exciting galloper. How has he come back this prep?
Yeah, we sort of, you know, every bit of targeting we've done with Ranting is trying to lead to Perth, and it doesn't look like we're going to be able to get over there. So it really is a first-up run for Ranting. The 1,000 is probably just going to be that little bit of a question mark, but he's come back particularly well. We've got him extremely sound. The guys down at the stable have done a huge job, and Brendan McCarthy's worked on him very well. And, you know, it's been a great team effort to get him back, and I can tell you he looks superb, and he'll be running on strongly. You know, whether those couple of those horses might just be a little bit speedy for him over the 1,000 remains to be seen, but he'll run a really good race.
What do you have in mind for him? This preparation is his big grand final.
Well, as I said, I really wanted to take him over for the winter bottom. So yeah. We'll just see. Like, it's not off the cards at this stage. Obviously, it's looking extremely hard. He's still a stallion, so we'd love to get a Group 1 next to his name. So we may even look to either the Magic Millions. Obviously, it's not a Group 1, but like the Telegraph or something like that over in New Zealand even.
I'm sure you're great, mate. Michael Gangemi will be ringing you up and say, OK,
Troy, I can look after him for you, mate, for the Winterbottom Stakes.
Yeah, well, true, that'd be good. He's usually got two or three runners in it, though, so, yeah. You know, you wouldn't want him looking after mine better than his.
Yes, that's a very good point you make. New York Baby, she was really good, I thought, there at Caulfield the other day, and this looks a nice race for her.
Yeah, terrific. It was obviously going to be a big question mark stepping up to stakes grade last start, and I think she more than held her own. She's come on since that. I think she's ready to go today. She should the toe in the ground should really suit her. I think she's our best for the day.
All right then. New York Baby Race 3, number 2. Good luck, mate. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Gareth.
There's Troy Corstis joining us there. So New York Baby, the team's best there, Race 3, number 2. Let's hear what David Eustace has to say about the chances of Generation, who looks tough to beat in the early part of the card. He is going around in Race number 4.
He's going really well. I mean, he was definitely unlucky last time in that, you know, well, it's always going to be tricky. It's just one of those valley runs. He was drawn wide and was trapped wide, but was very, very brave to sort of, and showed his class to stick on the way he did and wasn't beaten fast. So, yeah, he's had a bit of time between runs. He's bounced back well, and I'm very happy that he'll run. It'll be great.
In race number 8, the Moonee Valley Gold Cup over the 2,500 metres, the Maren Eustace team have the favourite that's been well-supported, Floating Artist. He's Dave once again.
There's going to be good speed on, and you would think he'd be sat sort of third, fourth, just behind it. I don't think anything will be able to lead Starcast or up. If he adopts his usual tactic. So he should get a nice toe in. He's clearly likes the Valley. He's a winner there, and the mile and a half will be no problem.
So just looking at that market now for the Moonee Valley Gold Cup, Floating Artist has been replaced as favourite. It's been a big go on Ponders. He's now into $2.80. Floating Artist out to $3.80. It's 7:33. You're with Gareth Hall here on the First Word. We'll take a quick break, and on the other side of it, we'll be catching up with Paul Snowd. Great to be with you on Cox Plate morning, and we just had a chat to Marnie Seidon at the top of the show today on the First Word. He's reported that overnight they've had 10 meals, a soft 5 at the moment. Hopefully the showers clear in the next hour or so, which he expects, and we get an overcast day, but with no more rain. So hopefully that is the case. Paul Snowden now joins us here on the First Word. Of course, they'll be sending around Cap Devon in today's WS Cox Plate. Good morning to you, Paul. Thanks for your time.
How are you, mate?
Good, thanks, mate. How's his week been, Cap Devon?
Yeah, really good. The guys are happy with him. Dad blobbed down there during the week. So, you know, he's a very tough horse, and he's come through that Guineas run in good order, and you know, he loves his tough racing, and he brings him on, and you know, looking forward to today.
Is the rain a positive or a negative overnight?
Oh, look, it is what it is. So, yeah, look, he's probably better on top of the ground, but it's certainly not going to be, hopefully, you know, chewed up too much by that day, time of the day, and we can get a bit of consistency there. But I think probably the rail staying where it is seems to think that the track's still in good order, and hopefully it'll play that way.
Where do you have him in the run, mate?
Well, that's the versatility of this horse. We're sort of a little bit in the unknown, obviously, at the distance, but his record suggests that once he gets to a mile, there have been his peak performances, and you know, I've got no doubt about how tough the horse is. He fits that mould quite well. So, you know, off the inside jaw, it'll just determine sort of how much they want to press the button to the first corner, as they usually do, and you know, we'll lay up behind whatever speed that comes our way, but we've drawn the right gate to sort of do that, and, you know, Dean's sort of got options there.
Yeah, and you pointed out his record over a mile. If, say, J-Mac pushes the button nice and early on Zaki and wants to make it a strong 2,000 metres, do you think your three-year-old can absorb that over the 2,000 metres?
Yeah, look, again, it's unknown, but yeah. I've got a feeling I can, just knowing the horse's toughness. He's not a he's not a sit-and-sprint horse. He likes to sort of, you know, keep in rhythm and keep that rolling momentum going, which is certainly going to come into his own today. So we'll soon find out, you know, this afternoon.
Now, Randwick, geez, there's some whispers out that Secret Revolution goes okay on debut for your stable. What can you tell us there, mate?
Yeah, look, he's done well. He's certainly a horse that's got a hopefully good race sense about him. He seems to be showing that in his trials and at home. So good relaxed demeanour, and he's got good gauge speed. So hopefully we can jump well and be positive. like his trial was. And look, he's a nice horse going forward. Like most of them, they always improve after their first run, and it's naturally this horse will do the same. But, you know, happy to have him there today, and I think he'll run well.
Marzu looks a nice chance in the Crowley Stakes.
He's just got to settle. He's his own worst enemy. He overdoes it. What he does, he panics with other horses around him. So, look, we'll be going forward, either lead or sit outside leader today. And hopefully, you know, that'll help him relax. I'm sure it will, because once he's in those either position, it certainly helps him just switch off that little bit, and certainly helps him towards the end of his races. So if we can get race run to suit, we're certainly in with a chance.
He's got some breaking news here. Saki's out of the WS Cox Plate. 7:32. Saki's out. We'll chase Annabelle Neesham and see what's happening there. So Saki is out of the Cox Plate. Makes your job a little easier now, Paul.
Someone's bad luck, or yep. Someone's good luck.
Yeah, don't like to say that's big news. Yeah, Saki out of the Cox Plate. Exo Boom and Carriff, your thoughts there? They've both got each way hopes.
Exo Boom ran into the trouble there with that horse, unfortunately, going amiss. And I thought he still had something to offer. He's definitely improved off the back of that. I really think he's in with a great chance today. And look, if he can win and win well, we'll be certainly looking to back him up next week in the Golden Eagle. So. He's, I think he's still on track for that.
All right, then.
Carriff, he's been good. He's still getting fit. He's done his third run back the other day. I thought his run was excellent. Heading the right way, coming down to you after today.
Good luck today, mate, especially with Captivant. What's your best?
I think Exo Boom.
All right, mate. Thanks for that. Good luck. There's Paul Snow there joining us. So Saki is out of the WS Cox Plate, scratched at 7:32 this morning. Looks like maybe an elevated temperature. So that's why he's out of the Cox Plate, which is devastating news for all of the connections. You feel for Annabelle Neesham, James McDonald. So we're thinking of them. And it's tough for the race as well. It was exciting to see what he could do today at the Valley. So Saki is out of the WS Cox Plate. Joseph O'Brien gets his chance to win his first Cox Plate, of course, with a horse that's been impressive in the early part of his career. He won nicely in the States, their last start, State of Rest. And Mark Power, who looks after Joseph's horses when they travel, joins us now. Good morning to you, Mark. Thanks for joining us on The First Word here on RSN 927.
No problem, Garrett. How are things?
Good, thanks, mate. What about the rain overnight? How do you think State of Rest will handle that?
I think it should be fine. I think they're racing at a soft five there now, are they?
Yep.
He performed fairly well in Nace at home last year as a two-year-old in a sales race on something that was definitely softer than a soft five anyway. And he ran fairly well in Doncaster in a Group 1, I thought, on heavy ground. So I don't think it's going to pose too much of an issue there.
How's his last couple of days been?
Really good. His work has been really good, and we couldn't be happier with him. So we're in a good place now for today.
Racing pattern, where do you think he'll settle?
I'd imagine he'll go and sit mid-div. There's probably somewhere he'll take a lead. And so I'd imagine it shouldn't be too complicated.
Yeah, and this is the race that the stable were pretty keen to target with State of Rest. He's at $10 and $2.60 now. Do you think that, what's Joseph's been saying, he's got the quality to win a race like this, or is it just a throw at the stumps in a way that we'll just get to see how he can measure up in a field like this?
Joseph, I think, saw plenty of potential in him from an early age, or from an early stage, I should say. So to go from running in a listed race in the Curra to throw him straight into Group 1 company in Saratoga in America, I think tells you how highly Joseph thought of him. He was probably a horse that we thought a lot of very early on as a two-year-old, and maybe didn't perform to the highest level or what we thought he might get to, but showing now what he's grown into and how he's filled out as a three-year-old, it's no wonder that he has progressed so much from two to three. So We think we're in for a big run now today.
All right, then, mate. How's Twilight Payment?
Great form. Yeah, he did a little bit of a half speed there last weekend, or earlier on in this week, I should say. And he did that really good. He's travelled over good, and he's probably getting better at the whole flying over track and settling into Werribee. It's become second nature to him now. This is his third season here, so he's in a good place too.
Good luck today.
Thank you very much.
There's Mark Powell there looking after Joseph O'Brien's team, and he is a fascinating runner, no doubt about that. The Irish Galloper State of Resh can get $10 for that Galloper. Saki just repeating the news, elevated temperature, and he is out of the WS Cox Plate. John O'Shea joins us now here on The First Word. Good morning to you, John. Thanks for your time.
G'day, guys. How are you, mate?
Good, thanks, mate. What can you tell us about your debutante, the filly Lady Harlem, going around in the English banner?
She trialled very well in Sydney. From a wide draw, Hugh dropped her in a little, but I wouldn't think she'd be that far back from the draw today. She had a good turn of speed late, has settled in well in Melbourne, and yeah, look, it's hard to line the form up, obviously, but she's a progressive, tough filly that'll be very strong late.
Robo Dare is an exciting filly. Were you happy with her effort behind Sneaky Five, who didn't have the best of luck in the Matacado Stakes last night?
No, we were really happy with Robo Dare first up. She's a bit like Sneaky last night. She didn't get a lot of luck when she needed it. So she's drawn slightly awkwardly today, but, you know, Mac can probably be nice and positive on her and hopefully get her across. If she gets across and gets a bit of clear air, I think she's a chance of redeeming herself today.
Yep, she'll enjoy the valley.
Yeah, look, she got around Caulfield, so the valley will be easy, yep. You know.
What about All Hallows Eve in the last there over the 1,600 metres? She's got a tricky gait.
She has, but she's had tricky gaits all prep, and to be fair to her, probably has belied where she's been fishing, racing quite well, but from awkward draws. Today is no different. The only thing today is it looks like she'll get a toe in the ground a little, which she really likes. Hopefully, a little bit of wear on the track. It won't be a disadvantage to be coming to the centre late in the day. And it wouldn't surprise me if she was found herself in the finish. As I say, Nash was very happy with her the other day. She got trapped a bit wide, but still finished off strongly. Yeah, she's there to run well, but she will need a bit of luck early.
Your thoughts on Starbuyer in the first at Newcastle?
Mate, they'll come out today, okay. The two at Newcastle. We've got heavy 10 there, so we'll pull the plug on them at down the line, yeah.
Robo Dare, your best?
In Melbourne, yeah. Yeah, the market probably says that, but yeah, hopefully they will give a good account of themselves.
All right, then, what about at Randwick there today? You got some nice chances. Sound of Cannons, what do you make of Sound of Cannons' chances for the OTI team?
Yeah, mate, he's been one that sort of, I thought he was in a really good race to win last week, and they come up a heavy 10. The rain during the day which didn't suit him, but he had a burn round. So back on top of the ground today from a soft draw, he's one that could surprise at odds. She's got a very good record, Rock O'Clock at 1400 at Randwick. Second up record's excellent. She's drawn to map well. And, you know, it's a race we've set her for, so she's got a great chance at odds. Kota Healy the other day was a little bit, we rode him a bit upside down, trying to put him into the race. But today, from a softer draw, he gets a better run, and he'll be better suited today, you know. So I think that run's probably helped him, though, all the same. And probably our best chance today is in the last, also Quantico. Got a nice mare as well there, but she's got an awkward draw, so she'll just drop in from there. But Quantico, he's been looking to get to Randwick in a fast-run race, which he gets today with no weight and Tommy Berry, so he'll give you a bit of a cheer late, you know.
All right, mate. Good luck, John. Thanks for that.
Cheers, up.
There's Johnny O'Shea there. We'll take a quick break here on The First Word, and it is 7:47, just repeating the news. Just after 7:30 this morning, Saki has been scratched from the WS Cox Plate with an elevated temperature. So devastating news there for everyone involved, and he was the strong favourite for the great race today, but the stable taking no risk with him, so he is out of the Cox Plate. We'll take a break, come back with David Brown, Johnny Sadler and Dan Bowman. This is what Annabelle has said on her social media platforms after the scratching of Saki this morning just after 7:30. She writes, absolutely devastated to report that Saki has been scratched from the Cox Plate due to an elevated temperature, gutted for connections and James McDonald. So Saki is out of the Cox Plate. John Sadler now joins us here on The First Word. Good morning to you, John.
Good morning, Gareth.
Starry Legend. Looks a nice race for Starry Legend today. Your thoughts, mate, in the second?
It's really interesting. He's obviously, the horse is three from four. a promising horse. Out of the weights by a fair bit here, Gareth.
Yep.
But not a lot of options for him. He drew wide last night, and there was a stack of speed in that race. Didn't sort of think the race would suit him, and the way it finished up being run, I felt vindicated there. Today, I reckon the horse is going very, very well. He'll lead them, and hopefully he can hang on at the end. But first time out of his own age, and, you know, up against the older horses. But we feel he can go through to that open level. And so if we're right, he's going to be very competitive today.
Yeah. The wet ground, how do you think you'll appreciate that around the valley?
Look, my gut feeling is he'll handle it. In fact, I would have been really confident that he'd get through it without any problems at all. He went there Tuesday morning. I thought he worked quite well. It was a little bit chopped up. We worked a little bit later in the morning. It was a bit chopped up, and Michael D wasn't as confident about him getting through the ground as what I am. And he's sitting on top, so we've got to, you know, got to take notice of that. But all the way through, I've clearly felt that that soft ground wouldn't worry this horse.
Should we have a bet?
It would depend on the odds. I won't be betting. I'll put it that way. I'm hoping rather than betting.
All right, mate. That's enough for me. What about Capital Legend? Just unlucky. Didn't get a start today.
Didn't get a start. No. Disappointing. But there's which doesn't gives him no chance now of running in the Derby. So probably find something through the Carnival. That I think there's an 1800 metre race there for 3-year-olds, that or else we'll go to the country for and hopefully give him a kill in the maiden. He's still a preparation away, that horse, anyway, so it's not the end of the world that he didn't get a run.
Good on you, mate. Thanks for that, John.
Thanks, Garrett.
There's John Sadler there. And the Crystal Mile, David Brown will saddle up Elephant and Rhinoceros, and he joins us now. Good morning to you, David.
Morning.
Who's going to be quick, Elephant or the Rhinoceros today?
Not too sure. Both working well, so happy with the way they've gone. Anyway,
how are you? What did you make of Elephant's performance there in the Turak?
A little bit disappointing. It was probably a race that he's never experienced before. You know, you caught a little bit wide, and it was very sort of rough and hustling and bustling. Never really switched off like he can and tuck his head and go to sleep. So that's all we're trying to get today, you know.
Yeah. It should just get a lovely run just off the pace from that low gate.
Yeah, he should get in a good spot and relax. And even if he's not just in behind them, it probably doesn't really matter on a 7-horse field. He should be able to find his way out.
Rhinoceros with no weight on his back might be tough to catch.
Yeah, he's absolutely flying in his work. He's come on a heap. We'll just roll forward and let him do his high cruising speed and go along and hopefully he holds on.
Yeah, all right, mate. Two strong chances in the Vase. We wish you the best of luck on the mile, I should say.
Good. Thank you.
There's David Brown there with Elephant and also Rhinoceros going around there in the Crystal Mile. And both strong chances there. And Rhinoceros is still a big price. What price do we get for Rhinoceros there in race number 7 on the program? Race number 6, I should say, at Mooney Valley. He is at $9.50. And Elephant, the strong favourite there at $1.60. A couple of scratchings there. You've got Buffalo River that's out, second slip. And Embolism, who, of course, goes around there tomorrow in the Sale Cup. Dan Bowman joins us because he's got a couple of nice horses going around, two of his stable stars. Good morning to you, Dan.
Morning, Jay.
Geez, Fortunate Kiss was unlucky in the 1,000 Guineas. How's she trained on since?
Yeah, she was. Really good. We couldn't be happier with her. The goal was always the 1,000 Guineas, but when she sort of got chopped out, didn't get a real crack at them. There's a bit of fuel left in the tank. So with this race on the calendar, we thought we'd have a crack.
What happens if she gets out that day? That's gone over in your head a few times.
Well, I replayed it in my head a million times that night.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, every time she didn't get out. So yeah. Who knows?
What do you do from that gate?
I actually like the wide gate her, you know. The last two starts, she's just had no luck. And I think from the wider gate, she can sort of be in a three wide line and get full momentum up from the sort of 600. If she can let down like she did at Warwickville that day, you know, she's going to take a good one to beat her.
Be good to your mother, goes around in the mile. Your thoughts with him?
He does. We've been very keen to get him to a mile now that he's relaxing a bit better. And I think being on the back up is probably the big kick. It should help him relax more. He just didn't handle the ground at Caulfield at all. So I was very happy to hear Marty say this morning that they only got 10 mil. And if it gets windy, it could get back to a four. So that's a big tick for him. Look, the jockey's in enormous form. Couldn't have anyone riding better to ride them both. So, look, we'll leave it up to Daniel with him and hopefully he can run out the mile and be in the finish.
Go and get them, mate. Good luck.
Thank you.
There's Daniel Bowman there. James Cummings, let's hear what James has to say about the new Cox Plate favourite now after the scratching of Saki, of course, I speak of Animo.
He has drawn wide barriers in all of his Group 1 attempts outside of the mid-draw and the size. Listen, it's not so bad compared to the wide draws and the Blue Diamond and the Slipper. I mean, they were really going to make things hard for his horse to win those races, and that's the way it unfolded. But it's not so bad. It's not so bad, you know, thinking about this race. We think that it gives him every opportunity to be ridden for his asset. And without giving that much away, I think it's clear that at the very least, Animo is the type of horse to let things unfold, and his best performances have been able to come from when jockeys have been able to ride him with that sort of confidence. Animo's had the chance to do his best, and I think that that's the way it needs to unfold when you imagine Animo possibly winning this race.
Sean Cosgrove, good morning to you. Final scratchings for Cox Plate Day.
Yeah, some important ones, Gareth. Shari and the Rail 2, obviously, a soft 5. Total of 22 out. Now, Race 1, take out 3, Sumi. 8, Field of Praise. 9, Foxy Gold. And 10, Seriu. 3, 8, 9, and 12. Second, put out 7, Gem of Scotland. And 9, Alaboom. 7 and 9. Third, Clear. The 4th, put a line through 3, Daily Bugle. 7, Tadweer. 3 and 7. Race 5, scratch 1, Vianello, number 1. 6th event, take out 4, Buffalo River, 6 second slip and 8 embolism, 4, 6 and 8. The 7th, 15 Capital Legend, doesn't get a run, number 15. Race 8, scratch 3, Le Don de Vie and 8, The Good Fight, 3 and 8. Race 9, the Cox Plate, take out 1, Zaki and 3, Gold Trip, 1 and 3. And race 10, pull out 7, Only Words, 10, Lelude, 12, Good and Proper, 13, Ill Affair, and 15, Kiss and Cry. 7, 10, 12, 13, 15. Now, no scratchings and no riding alterations.
Right on 8 o'clock, it's time for the news. And after that, it's the Melbourne Form Panel previewing Cox Plate Day.